All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, July 30th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had some League of Legends action earlier this morning. We had some tennis action earlier this morning, and we had MLB early slate kickoff as well. So good luck to all of you who played those slates. For the rest of the day, there's a three-game WNBA main slate. There was a two-game MLB afternoon slate that just got underway, and then there is a six-game MLB main slate later this evening. So for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Reminder, this is the last show of the week. We're taking a couple days off, and we will be back next week on Tuesday, actually. So, with that said, you know, we also have golf teeing off earlier tomorrow morning as well. So probably be talking some golf today, but let's get SaberSim pulled up. We did have a couple questions come in to the chat ahead of the show. Follow up from yesterday. Some people were asking about preseason support for NFL that starts tomorrow. We will have slate support, but we will not have sim. So what this means is that if you go over to NFL, gosh, I can't remember the last time I clicked on NFL. It's been since February. Pretty cool. We do have, well, one, the main slate is up. I don't know when our sims will be up, probably like 3-4 weeks out. But there is a showdown tomorrow, so you can click on the showdown. And then you will see the game, you will see the contests. Go to build lineups. You'll see all the salaries and players. You just won't see projections, right? So you can use our builder in optimizer mode. Okay. You have to provide custom projections. That's really it. Even if you provide ownership, contest sims won't work because we need to have game sims in order for contest sims to work. So just small nugget there. No contest sims. But you could upload ownership and, you know, you could create like some custom metric that weights projection and ownership together or something along those lines. So that is as much support for preseason as we will have. Now, getting back to our questions that came in before the show. All right. Someone said, if I'm using custom ownership, how does the builder interact with that outside data when running simulations? I typically play around 50 lineups in the main flagship contest each slate, and I have been trying to figure out if it's better to use the preloaded contest fields or create my own when uploading projections. Thanks. Okay, good question. So let's go back to the main slate coming up later this evening for MLB. Drop my pin. All right. Let this load up. So let's talk about how the builder interacts with custom projections. Okay. So let's say you come in here, you upload some projections and you upload some ownership, right? The projections get taken into account in the contest sim automatically. Okay. So effectively what happens here is, let's say your projections have Eovaldi at a 20-point projection, and then we have him at 18, right? What's going to happen here is that we're going to play, well, let's first talk about building lineups. So whenever we build lineups and we are pulling sims of the Texas game, whatever sims we pull however many points he scores, we are going to add your adjustment or subtract, if it's negative, the difference in projection from each of the sims that is pulled. So if we pull a sim where he scores 16, because we had 18 and you had 20, we're going to make it, we're going to add 2 points. If we pull a sim where he scores 30, we're going to make it 32, right? So then that is how it gets taken into account in the game sims. And then it's that new projection that is analyzed. And then it is that new projection that determines whether or not he gets into a lineup at any given point, right? So generally, the more points they have, he's going to get into some more lineups. Okay, so then it's, and then it works twofold, because now it's going to work in the contest sim where when he scores 20, he scores 22. Lineups that have him are going to move up in the standings. Those lineups move up in the standings, their ROI is higher, right? So then we take all of the adjustments and then we calculate the ROI as if your projection is his true projection, okay? So that's how it's working on the projection side. Doesn't work the same on the ownership side, okay? So when we go to the contest tab, and you see all these predetermined fields, okay? These fields are static, which means if you upload ownership projections, that has no impact on these fields. So let's say I go back to my build. So let's say, you know, Eovaldi, okay, we'll stick with him. He's projected for 40% ownership, right? Well, what if in my custom projections, he's 45% owned, right? And then all of these are changing. This has no effect on the contest sim at all. What this does affect is any some ownership metrics. Saber score gets affected by it because Saber score uses adjusted ownership and regular ownership is an input into adjusted. That's why at his baseline ownership of 39.82, he has an adjusted of 43.25. If I change his ownership to 45, his adjusted changes to 49.32, right? So the ownership is an input into that, and then adjusted ownership is an input into Saber score. Those are the main things that get affected when you change ownership projections. It is some ownership metrics, custom metrics that use some product geomean, and then adjusted ownership. Okay. If you want to have an effect on the contest sims, what you need to do is after uploading your custom ownership, go to the gear icon in the My Own and click this generate. Oh, the message is in the way. Click this generate field from ownership button. This will look at all of your ownership projections and then use the sims and still account for stacking and correlation and try and create a field that is closer to what you think the actual field is going to look like. So we will try to hit all your inputs. In my experience, it's not perfect, but it is better. So, you know, you might have some guys that are 7% difference. Well, the builder might only be able to get 5% of the way there. And like, that's okay. You know, ownership varies, right? There's some variability in there. So I think being a couple percentage points off is okay, but you're directionally correct, right? You're moving closer to what you wanted. Now, whether or not you should do this is a different question. I'll give you guys my thoughts. So usually, you know, in my experience, people who are uploading custom ownership are typically like aggregating from, you know, multiple sources in the industry. I don't think too many people are like building their own ownership. The other part of this is that, you know, you mentioned like you're playing 50 lineups in the main flagship, right? Okay. So what I would probably do is I would upload my ownership projections. I would use the generate field from ownership button. But depending on the contests you're playing, I would only be changing the ownership for the flagship. So, like, let's say, you know, you're playing 50 in the $18. And then let's say, like, you're playing the 121, right? For instance. Okay. So I'm playing the 50 and I'm playing the 121. The 121 is going to be a high stakes single entry. When I enable it just manually, it'll switch, right? So, like, for instance, just so you guys see, like, 888 is a high stakes 20 max. When I manually enable it, it switches to flagship MME. That might be considered a bug here. Manually enabling a sim contest tab, it switches field lineups to flagship MME rather than maintaining appropriate field. I'll make a note of that. But that's like besides the point. Getting back to what I was saying. Ownership and the high stakes single entry is going to look a lot different than what flagship ownership is going to look like. And as far as I know, I'm almost like pretty comfortable saying, and I could be wrong, and it's okay if I'm wrong. I don't know how many people are doing different ownership projections for baseball for different like types of contests, you know, like small field, large field, things like that, right? If you just like go and look at the differences in ownership, this becomes like very, very apparent. So let's go back to our build. Okay, flagship MME, highest ownership is 39%, Eovaldi 33%, Woo. If we switch to high stakes single entry, Eovaldi goes up to 46%. Looks like a lot of Seattle players came up 1, 2, 3, 4, like 25 to 30%. So let's see where they were previously. Okay, so they're a little bit lower, right? They're 19, 19, 19, 21. So looks like Eovaldi came up like 5%. Some of these Seattle hitters came up 5%. Big, well, not huge, but there are definitely changes here. It is for this reason that I think it is fine to use a custom field, but only use it for your large field contests. And I would still use the Sabre Sim fields for anything that is like smaller field. So I think our back testing and our fields capture some of the differences in contests better. But if you feel like you have better ownership projections for the main large field contest and you're playing that, which you are, then I think it's totally okay to use a custom field. So then you would upload your ownership, use the generate button, and then you would go to the contest tab. After you generate the field, it'll pop up between favorites and your build. And then once it pops up, once it loads, come over to the field lineup section. And then under SaberSim ownership sources, if you run lineups in a build, it'll say builds, and then there will be a field lineups option as well. And you just go and you select whatever you ended up naming your field lineups. So that would be what I would think is are good decisions to make. Custom field for flagship, SaberSim for like smaller field stuff. All right, good stuff there. Next question. From your reviews, do you feel I'm at a competitive disadvantage if I'm not making any adjustments post-build and just using Sabre Score starter plan? Thanks. Okay, so interesting question. Part of the answer is it's going to depend how you're grading out, right? If you go into Flashback and you notice or you see that you're a high sim ROI-er, right? Top like 10, top 20 sim ROI-er, then you're really not at any disadvantage with what you do, right? If you're like, hey, I'm very hands-off post-build, and I consistently grade out well sim ROI wise, then you're not at any disadvantage at all, right? If you are somebody who is not making post-build adjustments, but you are also not grading out well sim ROI wise, then I think you're doing yourself a disservice by not learning from what you can do to improve in Flashback and purposefully like opting out of making any adjustments, right? So the question really comes down to how do you grade out? And if you're not making adjustments and you grade out well, then you are totally fine with your decisions, right? You don't have to make adjustments post-build. Post-build is for quality assurance. It is for risk management. It is for implementing takes you have. If you don't have any takes, if you have a high risk tolerance, if everything looks fine to you, then I don't see a reason to make post-build adjustments if that's how you profile, right? If that is the type of player that you are. I don't know if you guys have been, you know, I mean, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but like ever since like the lineup groups came out, you know, we usually do like a build demo every day, like talking about like, hey, best ways to use the app, right? Show everybody who's checking us out, like what I think are good ways to use the app. I make less changes than ever now. You know, we run a build and I used to like, okay, you know, we're going to look at this. We're going to kind of up the uniques. We're going to dial this in. And then now it's like, okay, I'm using portfolio mode and wow, you know, this looks really good. And we sit here and we check it. And more often than not, you know, I'd say like 80% of the time we're not making any adjustments. And, you know, that just like goes to show. And I'm always like, hey, I'm happy with these lineups. You know, I'd be ready to rock and roll. Like I didn't change anything, you know? So I don't think not making adjustments puts you at a disadvantage, but you gotta, for lack of a better word, like listen to what Contest Flashback is telling you and adjust accordingly in order to continue to get better and better and dial in your process to where you are, you know, a very, very good DFS player. All right. Next question. But if we can't correlate our changes with sim ROI, how can that help us decide if we're at a disadvantage or not? Maybe I'm misunderstanding. I need your portfolio mode, then Andrew, LOL. Okay, hold on. Let me go back to this question. So I think we're talking about two different subjects, right? Because like the first one was just like, hey, you know, I use Saber Score. Do you think I'm at a disadvantage if I don't make post-build adjustments, right? So the question was like, I was reading it as, if you don't make post-build adjustments, are you at a disadvantage? And the answer to that is no, right? Now, the second part here, this is a little bit, this is like a tangent question, but similar, like of a similar vein, right? If we can't correlate our changes with sim ROI, how can that help us decide if we're at a disadvantage or not? So effectively, like anytime you make a change, right? And we can display this. Let's run a build. Okay, we're going to run a build. And we're going to kick these lineups off. Thank you. All right, we're signing these lineups run. All right, we're going to let the sim run. Contest sim is starting. So we did enable two sims on this one, which is fine. Okay. See if this works. I might need to enter a contest for this to work real quick, but let me send a note to our team. After enabling manually. Just want to get these things logged. All right. Let me go enter something real quick. Okay, this will be perfect. All right. Let's go and download a template file. Go to the contest tab. I'm going to turn those other two sims off and we'll just roll with this one. Okay, let's turn this off. Turn this off. All right, let's get rid of this one. And then I want to make this like I'm entering 20 lineups into this. And for its target ROI. Okay, this is the point I was trying to get to, where I see the average ROI, right? Now, at this point, any changes I make are effectively going to lower my ROI, okay? So if I come in here, say I change Eovaldi, I'm like, he's at, you know, 55%. Well, let's take Jeffrey Springs, right? Lot of exposure, lot of leverage, right? 30% leverage. Like, well, I don't want to have this much leverage on him. You know, I'm going to drop him to 30% max. And then I apply that. Okay. My average projection right now is 26.6. Let's see what it is after this change. Okay. It comes down to 22.3, right? So effectively, any change you make is going to lower your pre-slate sim ROI. That's the point I was trying to make here. Right. Now, I don't think, you know, how do I say this? I feel like disadvantage like might be the wrong word. You know, maybe like, is it suboptimal to do this? Well, it depends. Right. And it's going to depend on how having that much exposure to one individual asset in your lineups is going to make you feel, right? Will you feel really, really bad if that person has a bad game? And if the answer is yes, then you probably have too much risk associated with that player, which is actually like why, right? We have this new money per exposure, like dollar exposure column, right? It's telling you like, hey, you have this much money invested in this one player, or you have this much money invested in this one team, right? It's kind of a cool way to like think about like the decisions that you're making, right? Like we're usually just like talking in numbers and like as far as like number of lineups or like percentages, kind of without having like a good visual representation of like what percent entry fees are allocated to like a team, player, etc. This is kind of cool. You know, I use the dollar exposure in the stacks like a lot more. Sometimes like my biggest contest entry fee wise to my smallest contest entry fee wise varies. It's like sometimes what I'll see is like, oh, I might have, you know, 40% exposure up here. But, you know, this 20% team is in like a high stakes lineup and dollar wise, you know, I really need to consider if I want to play them, right? It's kind of like a, well, hold on, time out, like another thing to look at. So I think the dollar exposure can help you make some of these decisions. But getting back to what we were talking about, I think it's okay to make adjustments that lower your pre-slate sim ROI. And I also think that just because you're lowering your pre-slate sim ROI doesn't mean it's not a good decision. And it doesn't mean that you're going to, in a nutshell, hurt your post-contest sim ROI, right? Maybe if you make like a lot of changes, sure, right? If you're in here like changing everything, then, you know, you're driving this number down. Okay, then it probably will, you know, have a bigger impact on your post-contest sim ROI. But I think there are a number of things that you can do that can either like help your post-contest sim ROI or even just like maintain it without having too big of an impact on it, right? Like something I see a lot is like where people, where people play like too low owned lineups, right? In flashback. Though I'm sorry, not too low owned, too low projected, right? Low projected lineups could be good if ownership is perfect, right? But if you're like, you know what? I'm not really sure. I kind of want to cut these out. Well, like maybe there are some low projected lineups in your top 20, right? Maybe there's two or three of them. Well, then you cut those out, your average ROI goes down. But then what if ownership comes in different and you actually ended up helping your post-contest sim ROI when it's all said and done, right? And that'd be like pretty tedious, like actually figure out. You'd have to like go back and look at the lineups that you cut out and then compare their ownerships and things like that. But that is like a very plausible like scenario that I think happens, right? So all this to say, like, it's okay to make changes. You're not necessarily hurting your post-contest sim ROI by doing so. And you might even be protecting yourself against some lineups that might look good on the surface, but when it's all said and done, maybe don't grade out as well as you might thought have, or you might have thought they would. All right. Good questions and discussions so far. Looks like we are caught up here in both of the chats here in Office Hours and YouTube Twitch. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back next week for Office Hours. No Office Hours the rest of the week here. I'll be taking a couple days off. So appreciate you guys. I will see you all then. But until then, good luck. Take care. Thanks. Bye.